Perhaps the greatest treasure on this earth and one of the only things that will survive this life is human relationships, old friends. We are indeed rich if we have friends. Friends who have loved us through the problems, heartaches, and reversals of life. Deep, true, joyful friendships. Life is just too short and eternity too long to live without old friends.
Each week, here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts.
Well, hello, a beautiful Sunday morning to you. Thank you for tuning my way this morning on this beautiful day the Lord hath made. And the Bible said we could and we should rejoice and be glad therein. I'm so glad you tuned my way this morning that we might worship and magnify the Lord together. Okay, so let's get right into our broadcast today. Martha and I are going to do this beautiful song for you. And it says the Eastern Gate. Meeting place. We will meet on the other side of eternity. You know, a lot of people don't believe that, but I don't see how you can read the Bible and not believe in the hereafter. I believe that one day we'll split the eastern sky, the trump of God will sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive remain shall be caught up ever to be with the Lord in the air. And I'm looking forward to that great day. I've been anticipated on going for a long, long time. So I got to keep that in mind this morning. So let's go right back now and listen to this song. I hope you enjoy this one also.
There'll be no graves on the hillsides of glory. in her eyes in that throne room. There'll be no graves on the hillsides of home. I've lost a loved one. Well, I know you have too. Though we don't know the answer, but God's word said it's true. We're still full of questions, still caught off of guard. When we drive to the graveside and her loved ones let down, but there'll be no graves on the hillsides of glory. There'll be no pain on streets of pure gold. There'll be no tears in her eyes in that throne room. The hillsides of home. Why, you know life on this old earth, why, it's very short at its very best. You see, we're going to run out of living in these fragile old tents. Oh, but there's a brighter day, it's coming in that land of no night, where we'll be present just with Jesus. And you know then, everything's gonna be all right. Oh, there'll be no graves on the hillsides of glory. There'll be no pain on streets of pure gold. And there'll be no tears in her eyes in that throne room. There'll be no graves on the hillsides of home. No, there'll be no graves when we all get home.
No, sir. There'll be no graves on the hillsides of glory. Didn't you enjoy that song? Didn't you know that? That's a great message in that. Every song that we try to play, it gives you a great message. There'll be no graves on the hillsides of glory. There'll be no reason for death, because everything will live forever and forever. And I'm looking forward to that day. I'm not in no hurry now. I'm gonna take my time and spend what time God gives me here on this earth. But when I step out from this world, don't you worry where I'm going, because I know where I'm going. My destination is heaven, and you can know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. You can know you pass from death into life because you have love for God. You have love for the brethren. So, hey, I wish today that you would make plans to go with me, okay? All right, let's go right back and listen to this song right here. And I know you're going to enjoy this one also.
One glorious day, Jesus came and he made you whole. He spoke completely and satisfied my soul. Now as I face life's dark, stormy troubles, I wonder if he is satisfied with me. I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what he'd have it be. And when I come to that great eternity, his smile will say he is satisfied with me. I'm satisfied with God's great redemption plan.
satisfied that it's sufficient for all men. I'm satisfied with his work on Calvary. But is my Lord fully satisfied with me? Lord, give me strength, give me courage, make me bold, that I might lead some lost soul into the fold, that I won't be unafraid of what's for me. If my I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I'm satisfied with God's great redemption plan. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with knowing that I was a sinner. I need to be saved. God saved me. He didn't owe me anything, but he gave me everything. He said he gave me a home in heaven, and he's blessed my life. I can remember the time I couldn't rub two pennies together, didn't know where the next meal was coming from. Raised a family. I raised a wife and four boys, and I'll tell you, it was rough. Back years ago, it used to be rough, but it seemed like that God always made a way where there seems to be no way, and that's the way God works in your life. Mister, if you don't know that, then you can know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God works in mysterious ways and wonders to perform. So you can trust that. You can believe in that.
I wish that I was able to write the words that are wedged within my heart tonight. As I sit here watching the stars, and I kind of wonder, son, just where you are tonight. You know, son, it's a funny thing how close to war can bring a family which for years with pride kind of kept the emotions down deep inside. And I'm so sorry. But when you were small, I let a reserve build up, a great big wall. And I told you that men never cry. And it was Mom who always dried your tears and soothed that hurt away so that you could hurry up and get back to your play. But son, down deep within my heart, I longed to have some little part and kiss that small tear-stained face. But we were men, and men just don't embrace. Now, son, suddenly I find the full-grown man and a child no more, and so tonight you're far away across the sea waging a war for men like me. Well, to know pride and what is right just don't seem to go hand in hand tonight. And I find my eyes won't stay quite dry. And sometimes men do cry. And tonight if we stood, we're face to face, and I think that we would find that men do embrace. Son, you know dads, and sons are a lot alike. If I failed you in some way, not because I love you less, I guess it's a thing they call manliness. And if I had the power to write the thoughts of my heart tonight, those words would ring out loud and true. I'm proud, my boy, so proud of you. And grown men do cry. And Mom and Dad who lost their son fighting for a country they love, their hearts do cry tonight. And the scripture was very important, and that was over in the King James Version of the Bible. I went to the 11th chapter, and the 11th chapter is labeled in the Bible the roll call of the heroes of faith. Well, that just brought on another question. I'm a question person. I just don't settle with just that. I wonder then, how come only they are heroes and everybody else in the Bible ain't? I wondered why they didn't put Peter, James, and John. Why didn't Paul write about Peter, James, and John, and James? Why didn't he write about all of those? Why did he only call these men heroes? Or these ladies in this 11th chapter heroes? Well, that intrigued me, and it made me to wonder, just what is a hero? I mean, you know, we even in this Iraqi war, and I'm not comfortable with that. Many people have been made heroes, and many have really been just left behind. We seem like we want to say something in a heroic fashion about one, but we forget, and I'd like to say this morning, all men who ever served in the United States Army, Navy, Marine, Coast Guard, everywhere you serve, you are a hero. Give them a hand. You're a hero. And this morning we want you to know that, because what is heroes? Well, let's go to the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter and find out. And I picked out this very particular verse here in verse 13. Says, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims upon this earth. For they that say these things declare plainly that they seek a country. Well, now, the other translation would say a better country. And what are really heroes? Well, heroes are no different in biblical terms than they are in our terms. You see, they were biblical heroes because they had faith in God. They had faith in God. If you go down through the book of Hebrews in the 11th chapter, and every one of them will say, by faith Abraham, by faith Abel, by faith Moses, all of these people had great faith. Then what makes our heroes today? Men and women that are fighting today have faith in our country. They have confidence in our country. Oh, I know there's a lot of pros and cons, and please don't think I'm preaching a political sermon. I am, but I ain't. But there's a lot of pros and cons today about the war. Many say we ought not be over there, so therefore they protest. Many say we ought to be over there, so therefore they protest. And it seems like that we're living in a time when there not only are we in the middle of a war, but we've also got a war in the stateside, because many are for it and many are against it. And guess what? The other day, a statement was made that our president is the most hated man in the world. I thought, man, what a statement to make about the president of the United States. I mean, regardless of politics, how disrespectful can we get? But we've come to that point. Because, you see, heroes are people just like the biblical people. They are fighting for our country, and they serve our country because they got faith in our country. They got confidence in our country. You see, what they're wanting us to have is a better country. That's why they're fighting across the waters. That's why every one of us went into war. That's why every one of us is willing to sign on the dotted line. We wasn't willing to take all the punishment that we took. I mean, I never will forget my first day in Uncle Sam's Navy. Oh, they treated me so nice. They fed me good. They gave me some brand new clothes. I mean, from the underwear out. I had a brand new shoes. I had brand new socks. I mean, they made me a brand new man. And I mean, they treated me to a nice meal, and they couldn't treat me any better. I see Randy smiling. He knows where I'm coming from. So anyhow, that day was a great day. So finally, we bedded down that night after we were sworn in. And lo and behold, the next day, everything changes. Around about 4 o'clock in the morning, okay, you guys, let's get on the floor. Well, my lands, we rolled out of the bed about 4 o'clock in the morning. And some of us are yawning and everything, and some fella hollers, straighten it up now, straighten it up, you're United States Navy men now. And I mean, hey, everything has changed. All of a sudden, the whole picture has changed. Well, we didn't know anything about the terminology of the United States Navy, so we kind of leaned up against the wall. trying to, hey, this is 4 o'clock in the morning, man, it just ain't suiting us. And some guy squalls out, get off the bulkhead. I didn't know what a bulkhead was. So I stood there right dumbfounded until Randy, I found out what a bulkhead was. This guy looked at us and he said, you bunch of dummies, that is a bulkhead. The wall is no longer in your vocabulary a wall, it is now a bulkhead. So you see, as we come into the United States Navy, we were there because we had faith and confidence in our country. We were willing to fight, we were willing to die, we were willing to do anything and everything it took to protect our country. On television, and you see things on television that turns me off, and Martha knows they turn me off and they turn me on. Martha says, I wish you quit talking to the television, but I talk to the television all the time. I see things I don't like. I just tell them I don't like it. Martha says, hey, they can't hear you. Why don't you email them? Why don't you do it? But you know, I heard that there was a lady who received over $5 million from her husband who died in the fallen towers. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. The lady deserved it. She has a family. Her husband's dead, and she's got to go on in life. But $5 million? And running around in $800 pair of shoes, and the dresses that she's wearing cost $2,000 and $3,000, and she's ran through $5 million, and lo and behold, the poor old veteran out there is fighting and doing everything that they can do to try to get support for the widows that's left behind because their husband died overseas. Now that ain't politics. That's just pure facts. But who was the hero? Who was the hero? I mean, what is a hero? A hero is a person that is looked up to for their bravery, for their courage, for their nobility, and things that they have done. That's what a hero is about. They're people who have faith in our country, confidence in our country, and are willing to face these situations. Notice in verse 13, these all died without receiving all of the promise that God had promised for them. But they never lost vision. You see, what we say, we send the wrong message to our boys who are fighting overseas. Those boys are fighting. They're dying every day. Over 2,000 already have died across in Iraq. And many say it's for a war we all need.
Seem few. There is someone who cares for you. When you've tears in your eyes, your heart bleeds inside, there is someone who cares for you. Someone to care, someone to share troubles like no other can do. He'll come down from the sky, brush the tears from your eyes. You're his child and he cares for you. When your disappointments come and you feel so blue, there is someone who will care for you. When you need that special friend, he'll be a friend until the end. There is someone who is a friend to you. Someone to care, someone to share all your troubles like no other can do.
come down from the sky. Brush the tears from your eyes. Here is child, and he cares for you. He'll come down from the sky. He'll brush those tears from your eyes. Here is child, and he cares for you.
I tell you, that's a beautiful song. I love doing that song, Someone to Care. I know I need someone who cares for me, Martha. I want you to continue to pray for Martha. I was over here the other day, and she's just not doing any good at all. So you continue to pray for her and pray for all that I have mentioned on this broadcast. I pray for you constantly, because this day and time, we're living in a terrible time. Seems like nothing works out right, everything working out wrong, and sin is on the rampage, my friend. You can't blame it on the politicians. It's sin, S-I-N, and I mean it's fiercely working in our country, and sin is bringing reproach to our great nation. So we got to keep praying and keep on keeping on until the Lord comes, because we don't know when he's going to come. He could come before this day is out, and we want to be ready, because that's the only thing he said, be ready, for you know not the hour the Son of Man comes. I'm going to pray with you right now. Father, I pray for my unseen audience. I pray that somehow or another, that as we close this broadcast, Lord, they'll sense that this preacher cares for them, and someone who cares. Jesus came so far and died upon a cross simply because he cared. And I want them to feel and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is a preacher who cares about them. I love my unseen audience. I pray for them constantly. And Lord, I know they're praying for me. And Lord, I'm reaching across this airway to sinners right now, people who are lost without you, God. They're trying to find a solution. And there is no solution unless Christ steps in and takes care of them. There is no solution, my friend. Backslider, you turned away from God. You've turned your back upon God. You just got tired of living for God, and it seemed like everything went wrong. But God can patch you up and put you back together again this morning. Your marriage is folding up, and it seemed like you just can't get along. Well, God cares. Someone who cares. And I want to play a little bit more of that song for you, and you let it soak deep into your heart and life. Someone who cares.
Someone to share all your troubles like no other can do. He'll come down from the sky.
My neighbor, it has been good to be with you today. I hope you've enjoyed the broadcast. I haven't mentioned any names, but I do want to mention my granddaughter, Megan. She has taken her test and passed it. Called me the other day, really excited about that, and she's going to be a home care nurse or a health nurse or something like that. And I'm so thrilled for her, and I'm tickled for her. I got a good family. God has given me a good family. And Martha is in this condition. She doesn't realize it, but anyhow, we love her. And I go over to see her, and she doesn't even know me, and that's sad. But anyhow, if God be for me, there's no power that can stand against me. Don't give up on God. He never give up on us. He sent his only begotten Son. He died upon a cross that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So goodbye, be good, and may God bless you and yours. That truly is my humble prayer.
He'll come down.
You can write to me, Reverend Tommy Mounts, HC80, Box 36, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951. Again, that's Reverend Tommy Mounts, HC80, Box 36, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951. Look up, my friend. Jesus is soon coming back.
He'll brush those tears.